Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, State Senator James Settlemyer joins us for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator James Settlemyer of District 17. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here, Sam.
We're taping this on the morning of December 14th, so people have an understanding of the time period. What are your thoughts at this point on the presidential election and the results?
Well, you know, the Electoral College is today for the state of Nevada. You know, I think some of the states clearly had some problems and some funny stuff going on. I think Nevada did a pretty good job. I'm concerned with some of the signature verifications with machines and so forth down in Clark County, things of that nature. Overall, I think the rural counties did an excellent job, though, of making sure the signatures match. My own daughter, her signature didn't match, which makes sense. You know, you're 18 years old, you sign up your driver's license and sign up to vote, and then 2 years later, after being in school, you've had to sign your name a few times and your signature changes. I know my signature's changed over time, and so they rightfully pulled hers up and she had to go down and have it verified. And to me, that's the way the process is supposed to work.
Yeah, I mean, you know, overall, I mean, you know, one presumes that there's going to be some illegalities along the way, some funny stuff going on in every election when you have millions of votes. But do you think it's anywhere close to overturning the results of the election in the state of Nevada?
I don't think necessarily on the presidential level. I do question some of the other elections that it could be. You know, you look at Commissioner, what is it, G or D or down in Clark County. It was so close that they
right.
wouldn't certify it. And so are there
so
any other
Stavros
ones that are close?
Anthony and,
Ross,
and
Miller.
Ross Miller. And so, you know, at this point, Stavros Anthony is, suing. Mm-hmm. The thing that was interesting about that was, even though the number of votes in the recount increased for Ross Miller, it seemed like the number of votes that were in dispute was still quite larger than the actual winning amount in the race.
Correct. And if it was my overall opinion, I think we should look at, you know, a full audit of the full process of all the signatures that are involved, you know, when it's not a human being looking at it. You know, I think there's some very serious points that were brought out that, you know, your signature at the DMV has about 100 points of description, DPI, versus a machine that says that it needed 200 in order to be valid. So I think it's worthwhile to take a look at those signatures if someone would do so to figure out if they match and go through the process. Now that we have the time, I mean, the information has to be kept for, I think, 22 months. So I want to take the time and show everybody clearly that it was good or find issues that we need to resolve for the next election. So that way people have confidence in the process.
When my wife and I came back from a trip abroad last year, I was amazed at the eye scan, not looking at my passport, but the eye scan we got coming back into the country, and I could see on the computer screen literally all my information coming up off of that iScan. Is that something that's even been discussed in
no.
terms of elections?
Not an iScan. We've had numerous bills every session. My name's been on all the ones that I've been involved with, you know, trying to get even just a photo ID just to make sure. I even think, you know, we go to the next level. Why shouldn't you, as Sam Shad, be able to say, you know what, every time that Sam Shad votes, Sam Shad should have to show his photo ID because you want to make sure that your vote is protected. So you should be able to elect to have to show your photo ID. Let's see how many people are out there, because I know myself, I would prefer to show my photo ID when I vote.
Okay, so but you're saying that on a voluntary basis.
Well, if they won't let us do it statewide, why not at least allow it on a voluntary basis?
The ACLU, Todd Story was on the program a couple of years ago talking about this issue and saying that there's 10% of Nevadans who don't have an ID. Hmm. And I was shocked at that because it seems like, you know, how can you live your life without ID when almost everything you need to do at some point or another requires you showing an ID? In Las Vegas, for example, you know, if you buy something on a credit card, 9 times out of 10, somebody asks you for your ID. Do you think the number is as high as 10%?
I think that the concept of how many people don't have a driver's license or a identification card from the state of Nevada is likely 10%. However, if you look at the law, we also allow tribal IDs, and we allow 7 or 8 other different forms of federal IDs that are consistent. Even concept of a concealed carry weapons permit, CCW card, which is issued by a county. There are many things that we accept for ID in the state of Nevada. And if you do that, I think you get down to a much lower number of individuals that are out there. And I also think that we should give out freely to individuals for the purpose of voting a card.
Yeah, and I would totally agree with you. I'm not, you know, in favor of raising taxes on very many things unless there's a specific thing that I'm agreeing to. But I certainly think that if people want to vote and they don't have an ID, then I'm happy to contribute yeah. towards funding that.
And if you look at many other countries that are actually less advantageous than us and they have less resources, and they require a photo ID. So I don't think it's that far of a stretch.
Let me ask you about the election. I'm presuming that you were rather pleased with the turnout and the number of Republican votes versus what a lot of pundits were saying prior to the election.
I was happy to see the turnout. I wish Republicans would have showed up even more, especially in rural counties, you know, because if we boost up those numbers, we can sometimes overcapacitate some of the losses that we see in some of the metro areas. So in that respect, I would have preferred to see, I'd like to see 80% across the board. You know, it's just the way I am. I think everybody should be out voting in the primaries and the general elections and be involved and do their research and do their best to help figure out who should be the winner.
Okay, well, I guess really my question was more focused on, you know, a lot of people, pundits I should say really, were saying that Nevada had turned blue and we were no longer a battleground state. And across the country, but in particular here in Nevada, the strength of the Republican vote was really quite strong. And even in the presidential election, you know, those were huge numbers for both sides. It could have gone either way, you know, seemingly easily.
You're absolutely correct. You know, a lot of people talk about an election. They say, well, we clearly have a mandate from the people to do this. And it's clear that it's not a complete mandate. You know, that the majority party currently, the Democratic Party, is not mandated to return and to do everything they want. That society wishes people to try to work across the aisle, work together, and find solutions that are best for the state of Nevada and for the nation.
It seems like both parties have a schism, that there is a split between the far left, the far right, and the centers in both sides. Do you feel that there's enough center for you to work in at this upcoming legislative session to accomplish things for people in the state of Nevada?
I think I can only speak for my own, you know, caucus, and I agree that within our own caucus we have that ability to work across the aisle and look at what's best. I worry from seeing the special sessions in the previous session that there was a national agenda being pushed by the majority party, and that agenda was only about that.
Okay, so for those that, you know, are not political insiders, lay out what your concerns are about, in quotes, the Democratic national agenda.
Well, if you look at the national agenda, they were more worried about single payer, you know, the concept of health care, not looking at how that really affects the citizens of the state of Nevada. We have many unions that have negotiated very favorable contracts for health care. And in that respect, they should be allowed to keep those. But yet there seemed to be more of a push for what do we do to further the national agenda of single payer or furthering down that agenda. That bothered me. The concept of voting, you know, they push forth and force through mail-in ballots for everybody when clearly the Republican Party was against that. But in a midnight session at 2 a.m., they forced through their will because that's what the national agenda wanted. And in that respect, I find that troubling, that we weren't worrying about what's best for Nevadans.
On the other, you know, let me just throw, you know, the other side of the coin in here. The Republican turnout was so strong that it seemed to, you know, take away from concerns about the mail-in ballot. Yes, there was a strong mail-in ballot on the Democratic side with, you know, early results coming in for Democrats. But by the time Election Day rolled around, the Republicans were not short of votes.
Correct.
I'm not saying they were winning votes necessarily, but they were not short of votes.
We would have preferred more. I've never had a problem with the concept of someone coming in and saying, I wish to go ahead and be mailed a ballot. That's not a problem. The problem is when everyone is mailed a ballot.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come right back with State Senator Sedlmeyer after this timeout.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator James Sedlmeyer of District 17. So Mark Amade famously broke the rumor at the time that became absolute fact within a couple of weeks that Paul Ryan was going to step down as the leader of the Republicans on Capitol Hill. You are also hearing rumors, but would you care to share what you're hearing?
Oh, you know, you got rumors out there, and that's going to be part of the problem of the next legislative session. We have a lot of people that will be vying for different jobs rather than, you know, looking not what to do. You know, you've got discussions that, you know, I've heard from several people that Governor Sisolak probably won't run for re-election, that Catherine Cortez, you know, has been told that she's going to be the one running for governor by, you know, Harry Reid. So we'll see how those rumors play out and what that does to the field, because as those things occur, then people will start looking at, well, then I want to run for this job or I want to run for that job. To me, I think we should all just focus on doing our current job rather than trying to worry about the next one.
Well, Catherine Cortez Masto has wanted to run for governor for a long time, and that just wasn't the appropriate track for her at the time. But what would happen to Governor Sisolak in this rumor world?
I don't know. You know, in the rumor world, people talk, of course, about the exchange. You know, you go back to the, you know, I think it was Richard Bryan was the last person who did that, went from governor to U.S. Senate. So there's some people saying that he'd run for that, or maybe he'd even appoint himself to that. And you get all these rumors and speculation, but it's hopeful that we'll, again, worry more about doing her job than trying to figure out our next job.
If he were to attempt to appoint himself, she would have to resign before the election cycle. That would interesting scenarios right there. Any others that you would care to share in this rumor section?
You know,
we'll
again,
just move on.
They're just all rumors and speculation, but it creates musical deck chairs on the Titanic.
Okay, so let's bring it home to you. Congresswoman Mark Amadei has an exploratory committee to run for governor on the Republican side. That would open up CD2. You and I have talked about this on the program in the past. Do you still have an interest in, if Amadei does step down, of running in CD2?
You know, with me, like I said before, I'm going to focus on the job at hand. The concept of spending 70% of my time in Washington, D.C. is not exactly favorable. Of course, you know, if someone wants to run for a constitutional office, you have to spend about 70% of your time in Clark County. And I've got a ranch and family and kind of a couple other things to do. I'm not saying absolutely no, but right now I want to focus on the job at hand.
State Senator Heidi Gansert was on the program, and she mentioned that she's stepping down from UNR at the end of 2020. Do you believe that she has ambitions to run potentially for governor or beyond?
Again, I think everybody's going to be playing musical deck chairs, you know, as far as that's concerned. I think that, you know, you've got State Senator Ben Kiekhafer, a colleague of mine, State Senator Heidi Gansert, again, a colleague of mine. Mr. Kiekhafer's term limited. You know, does he want to continue on in politics? Then he's going to have to figure out, you know, where he wants to go. Ms. Gansert, you know, a long time ago when Brian Sandoval stepped up, you know, there's always people talking about it. And who knows? Maybe there's someone out there that we haven't thought of that's going to step forward, and then that makes other people go, no, second thought, I'll just stay put where I'm at.
What's your sense as you travel around, because you do travel around the state beyond your own district, of where Governor Sisolak sits in the public's mind at this point? Because to me, it seems like it's a fairly 50-50 split between people who are very supportive of his actions. He just extended the pause until January. And then there are others that are vehemently against him. How do you feel he's being rated by the citizens of the state at this point for his governance during COVID?
You know, I think every day it goes down. That's just the reality. It happened with Trump, too. You know, you start up high and you end up going down. So every day he loses ground in that respect, especially when you put forward things that you can't back up with science.
You know, for example?
Myself. I've had COVID. The governor has COVID. He wasn't able to protect himself from that. Caleb Cage, the head of the COVID task force, got COVID. He was not able to protect himself from that. The data and science is out there saying that your chances of getting COVID again or being able to share it with other individuals, once you've already had COVID, you got a better chance of winning the lottery. Yet, I still have to wear a mask everywhere. So there are, you know, questions like that people ask me all the time. It's like, well, why do I have to wear a mask when I've already had it? The data's there. And some of these people are doctors, nurses, people that have far more knowledge than I do in the medical field. And they're just asking for the science to back up these concepts.
You know, with the masks, I'm just going to have this conversation with you. With the masks part, it just seems it would be almost impossible to have a half the population can wear a mask, half the population doesn't. I think you're kind of stuck with that. And for me, the decision became very easy when I wasn't a mask wearer in the beginning. And I went to Whole Foods on a Friday night before the mandate came out, and I was the only person in Whole Foods that wasn't wearing a mask. And I thought, you know what? The public has voted. I'm going to wear a mask.
And again, personal choice, and that's exactly where it should be. Personal choice. As an individual, I choose to wear a mask out in public. Because, again, it's the right thing to do to protect other individuals and also to protect the businesses, because they're the ones that OSHA are fining. But to have that department send in individuals to restaurants, and if they see an individual sitting at the table and if they're not actively eating, giving that business a fine, I really have a problem with that type of governance system that sends out inspectors for the sole purpose of going after individuals. It's just very problematic. I don't want to live in that type of society where, and you got nanny states where people are actively reporting on other individuals. Well, I was at this restaurant and this person wasn't doing this. if you don't like that, don't go to that restaurant anymore. Shop with your dollar. Go to places that firmly follow the protocols that you wish to have followed, or maybe even more protocols. Decide that this restaurant's decided way back when, rather than having six people at a table, they're only going to have four. And I think that's safer. Therefore, I'm going to spend my dollars here. Make your own decisions. Don't have the government do it for you.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with State Senator James Settlemyer after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator James Settlemyer of District 17. You've got an interesting bill draft coming up for this next session related to COVID. Explain.
Well, you know, it's my opinion that if you look at it, go back to the days, which unfortunately dates myself quite a bit, you know, smoking and non-smoking sections. Why not have the ability if a business wishes, again, at their own election, if they want to have a section for individuals that have had COVID or have had the vaccine. And in that section, those individuals can go back to what used to be the normal. You know, you don't have vacant seats, things of that nature. If they wanted all the slot machines in that area to be open, they could. And on the other half of the restaurant, they went ahead and did whatever protocols the governor currently is at, whether that's at 50% today or 25% tomorrow or 20% the day thereafter. Let that side of the restaurant exist under those protocols, but allow business to return, because you have 10% of society that has been tested positive for COVID and recovered. You have 10% of society, at least in my opinion, that have COVID that never got tested because they don't want to be labeled or they didn't want to pay for the test or they didn't want to go out of their way to go get the test.
Or didn't even know they had it.
Or maybe even didn't even know they had it. Actually, I think there's a larger percentage of people that clearly knew they had it. I mean, every member of your family had it. Odds are you got it as well. I mean, you were sick. You lost sense of taste. You had a fever for 3 days. All the symptoms were there. You basically knew you had it. You just chose to not be labeled. And that was your choice, individual choice. And I'm saying the same thing with businesses. If they can figure out a way to divide their business up, and they wish to, allow part of their business to return to what used to be normal, and then the other section exists under these parameters, why not allow them to have that choice, to let them decide if they can survive that way or not?
Okay, so I'm not disagreeing with you because the concept sounds great, but here's the real important part that was at the very beginning of this whole COVID discussion, which was to not overrun the hospitals, mm-hmm. to not overrun the health system, so that it couldn't cope. And we're seeing around the country that we're reaching maximum levels for the hospitals. So doesn't that jeopardize that situation to where, you know, and it's not even the hospital space at this point, it's the staffing.
Correct. And as far as the staffing issue goes, maybe we need to look at providing them some protections from liability, which unfortunately the majority party chose not to give any hospitals protection, except for the state hospital, of course. But all the other hospitals, they didn't give protections, and therefore they have liability issues and they have problems finding staff because of that. So there are things we can do to help the hospitals out with capacity and things of that nature. As far as saying what if, well, clearly what we're doing isn't working because we've been doing all this and we still don't have the ICU bed space and stuff of that nature. We need to allow more of the surgical centers to open up if they choose to and let them take back over non-COVID issues to free up space there. But everybody's gone internal. You know, in the old days, we used to do more. We need to look at our certificate of needs. Even when this pandemic ends, we need to get rid of it. We need to make sure that if someone wants to be a doctor and they're a doctor in the United States and they want to travel to the state of Nevada, as long as they have nothing bad in their background, why not let them be a doctor here? We need them.
I couldn't agree more. There were so many other questions I wanted to ask you about the upcoming session. Will you come back in early January and
Absolutely.
Let's talk about it before the session kicks off? But thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com. As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.